right, let's get going. We've got lots to do, and we've only got an hour left here in the show in Durban. We're doing this especially because Africa's Travel Indaba is taking place here. Massive expo. All the big players are here, and we're talking to some of the people from, among others, Martin Wiest's team, we were speaking to Martin just a moment ago, and it seems that Martin is a name that they use quite a lot in that department.
Yeah, and different variations. So we saw Martin Wiest. I think a little later we'll be introduced to Martin.
Martin, right.
So this is a variation. Yeah. Of
Martin. And this, of course, for those who have been sleeping under a rock, is Achi Adams. He is, of course, travel.co.za. That's the place you've got to go. And he's also our man when it comes to trying to find out anything to do with the best destinations in the world, the best planning, the best tips, the best flights, the best everything. And he's not a slouch when it comes to this information either.
No.
In fact, he's so good that last night I messaged him and said, shit, I haven't got my plug for my laptop. He's like, no problem. Is this the one? He sends me a photograph. I'm like, that's the one. Even sorted that problem out.
Now you learn, eh, that you, when you travel, don't forget these things and have a spare one.
Do you use an actual list?
I don't.
You just know.
I got a go bag. It's packed and ready.
A go bag.
Yeah. I mean, we travel quite a bit. You know this. I mean,
you travel.
Not as much as people like Martin Monet as well. I mean, we travel quite a bit. But if you're prepared to be out of the office traveling for at least a week every month, then you get used to it, and your bags are pretty.
So what's in your go bag?
Well, obviously you've got a change of clothes for one night.
Basic toiletries.
Yeah, basic toiletries, and your equipment, which is the most important thing. Your MacBook, your computer, PC, your laptop, charger, mouse charger, very important. Don't forget the mouse charger. and obviously your phone chargers.
Right.
You need a phone charger. You need a power bank charger, all of those things. There's a section in my bag, and I don't know if you've seen my bag. Mm-hmm. So I've got one of those specialist bags. There's a section for every little piece of cable. So when you open it, you can see if something's missing. You can just replenish, and you're ready to go.
It's very organized.
Yeah, you got to be organized.
One of these days, we're going to do a show on packing.
Oh, yeah.
Because that is an art. And, you know, these people who have a whole series on YouTube that you could watch.
Yeah, and I think
figure out all this stuff.
I think we, as South Africa, matures in this travel industry as well with our low cost carriers. I think we'll find people like Safe Air, Lyft, and them following suit, like Ryanair and stuff, where the restrictions on baggage become a little bit more strict in terms of size of bag, for example. Before you get on the plane, you're actually going to need to fit your bag into a little compartment. If it doesn't fit in, you got to pay. I mean, that happens all over Europe. And it opens
well, I up. Saw a very undisciplined woman on the flight yesterday who had three bags. She's meant to, and she says, Anna, I've got no checked in luggage. Yeah. Like, no, you
actually do.
You're the problem.
Yeah.
Right?
So you could do something about packing, because there's technology with bags and vacuum technology that you can do to squeeze as much in as possible.
And packing it flat when you fly back from somewhere, you know, rather than just throwing it in bunched up. And I mean, they're little things that I've learned along the way, but I'm sure you know all the tricks as well.
Yeah.
All right. So we were talking to Martin just a moment ago from Tourist Destination Management. So what I want to do now is bring in Martin Mellaert, who is the Chief Operating Officer for Sense of Oceans. And we're going to talk a little bit about Madagascar. Come and grab a seat here.
Hi, Martin.
Nice to see you. How are you, Martin?
Good.
Good.
Good, good.
So actually, Madagascar seems to me to be a very interesting place. You're not just in charge of Madagascar.
Correct.
They told me you have everything to do with oceans everywhere.
Aaron, I represent the Sense of Oceans brand for tourists.
Okay.
So I often say I'm on the. We have a lot of safari operators. I'm the beach boy of the club.
Beach boy.
That sounds very exciting.
So I started as a own company for 25 years, concentrating on Mozambique.
Okay.
And then partnered up with Tourist. And they told me, you know what, let's open a brand. We have Sense of Africa all over the southern Africa and east. And I thought, okay, I'll go to Madagascar because it was an interesting island. And
well, let's start with.
We opened our office there.
Let's start with Mozambique because you've got lots of experience there too. And we were talking about places in the world that people want to go to that are affordable and that are beautiful and where there are lots of sort of secret things that are completely unknown to most people. I mean, Mozambique used to be a bit like that. I don't know if it still is.
Funny enough, as you say that, I started in 1998 selling Mozambique, and I had three topics that said there's no mass tourism, there's little flights are expensive, but there's only a few flights, you have empty beaches. I'm now in 2025 selling Mozambique at the Indaba yesterday morning, and I used the three top same topics.
Same thing.
Same thing. So actually, Mozambique didn't get involved, but is it good or what for tourism? As a tourism operator, it's not great. We would like to have more numbers for the country. And actually, they have very little support from the tourism board. They have a lot of natural resources. So all the interest of the government go to the natural source, and there's a not so much tourism, unfortunately. But the place is still unique. So those travelers who would like to add that to a safari in Southern Africa, it's really a place, place to go to.
What about Madagascar? Because Madagascar has always been, to me, a bit of a mystery. Often South Africans in particular, and since a lot of people who watch and listen to this show are South African, we've got listeners and viewers all over the world, but many of them will know more about Mauritius or even Reunion across the Madagascan island and on the other side of the Indian Ocean than they will about Madagascar itself. But it's a fascinating place. It's huge also. And again, apart from unpronounceable names, it's not very well known to most people.
No, I think the best promotion they had was the movie Madagascar.
Yeah, with that, all those cute little creatures.
Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Sure.
And then the version of penguins of Madagascar, right? Which is not a penguin to be seen on that. No, it's the second, third biggest island in the world. It has actually the same as the elevation. It's up to 1,500 meters of Antananarivo, the capital. So people think, oh, I'm going to another Indian Ocean island. It's not. It's a major. It's 1,600 kilometers by 600 kilometers.
That's massive.
It's huge.
Compared to a Mauritius.
Yes. It's big. So there's a lot of tours, you know, the tours compromise of culture, of nature. And there's a huge amount of endemics. All plants are endemic. The animals are, and they, till today, discovered new chameleons. I've never found subspecies. And, you know, and then the guy goes, yes, there it is. So where? Yeah, there it is. And it's, you can literally put it on the nail. And that's a chameleon,
Well,
you do safaris on vehicles in Africa. There, everything is by foot. You go into the rainforest and actually go discover. And it's
a beautiful. And from a climate and topography and vegetation point of view, is it also varied? Do you get places that are more like tropical island, other places that are more mountainous, and you know what sort of zones do they have on that island? Because so I imagine they have many.
Like I said, the center is on a plateau up to 1,500 meters altitude, and then you go to the north, Nosy Bay, which is the most well-developed, comparable to Seychelles and Mauritius. They have the blue beaches and blue ocean, the white beaches, but also very little tourism. There's a few charter flights just on that Nosy Bay area. There's a direct flight from Johannesburg. But then you go to Ile Sainte-Marie on the east side, which is a small island just off the coast. And that's fantastic. And there's barely no one.
Wow.
Unfortunately, in the Indian Ocean, as you every year, February, March, you get hit by cyclones. That island being on the coast.
What's the best time to go?
So Nosy Bay is naturally protected by that because they're on the northwest. And otherwise, but they are the two prime spots. And then the sauna part for the fire is another place where the beach is. But I think Madagascar is not a pure beach destination.
No.
It has a beautiful culture. It's called part of Africa, but the population comes from Indonesia. The population is not
really
African population that came to Madagascar came at a later stage in life, and not from the beginning.
That's interesting.
Well, yeah.
Same with
you
Mauritius.
Will see.
So the Mauritius are the Indians, so Indonesians.
Yeah, correct.
The Dutch bringing the slaves down.
100%. It comes from
all the way
era.
There and stopped there. Dropped some slaves off, came back to Cape Town.
The spice route.
Yeah.
Correct.
And then what language do they speak?
French.
French there?
French and Malagasy. And then there's some sub languages, but the French occupied it and banned it in 1972. They got their independence, but French is still the spoken language.
And is English well understood, though?
Like, in the touristic areas.
In the tourist
areas. If you go off the beaten track, French, a few French words would help you. Okay, so I'll guide you if you want to.
Let me ask you this. Do they have internet connection?
Yes.
So Google Translate will work.
It will work.
That's what you need.
Your Google Maps will work, so you get around. Okay. You'll find your networks. And I think the French have heavily supported this country throughout, even also after the independence. And so, yeah, now the connectivity from cell phone, from Wi-Fi, the country is well run. They have a quite active tourism board as well, what supports us on different shows all around the globe. So, yeah, now we...
Well, Kevin says great surfing around Madagascar. Is that your experience?
Is it normal surfing or is it kite surfing? Yeah, there is certain areas.
That's what he gives me.
It's probably in the southeast for the fun where they do it. There's certain areas in Mersey Bay where they do it, but I would not have the specific knowledge about
it. Well, if you give us more specifics, Kevin, I mean, don't be so general.
Yeah.
What do you expect Martin to do with this? Yeah. So what other kinds of things are you doing? We talked about Madagascar and Mozambique as destinations, but tell me about what sort
of... We'll do a bit of overall video overland trips. We do self-drive trips for clients who want. We organize guided tours. Madagascar is a typical guided tour, like Kenya, where you don't go on a self-drive there. You take every tour you take is or fly in with a plane or domestic flights, or you take a guided tour. And guides, you know, first of all, support you with the local communities as well, because you know, every single person in our office there is a Malagasy and also the guide.
Is it expensive?
No, it's not. Mozambique is compared to, if I compare it to South Africa, Mozambique is quite expensive. Madagascar is much cheaper. The hotel rate would easily be for decent style under €100 per night.
Wow. Okay, so there's something to think about too.
Yeah, the flight, and I have quite
3-hour flight to Madagascar
from Johannesburg. Yeah. Yes, from Johannesburg.
That's four, also good.
Yes, four times a week, but it's Airlink, so it's not given, but it's regular, and once a week in, and once a week on to Nosy Bay. So if you want to do a beach extension from South Africa, I would say fly to Nosy Bay and have yourself swim with the turtles, do a good diving, do a bit of. And you know, people come to Madagascar for one thing. They want to see the lemur. They want to see the lemur.
King Julian.
Correct. So King Julian is widely seen in different areas. Not always authentic.
There are other amazing primates there. They've got things called tarsiers, which are little, also with the big eyes.
Called
and the eye is the one with the long finger that scratches things.
Correct.
Out of the...
And so the eye is almost extinct.
Hideous. Those things are scary looking.
Yeah, no, they're pretty because of horrible.
Oh my god!
But the thing is, they are seen as bad animals by the locals, and actually almost driven to an extinct because they predict if you kill an eye and they are the demons. They bring wind, so you can't go out fishing. And they are actually heavily hunted down. And
James, see if you can find a picture of one of those so that people can see it. Tarsier, and then an I. A-Y-E.
Yeah, correct.
So, Martin, we're going to be in touch to get some tours from you.
Yes,
for sure.
We want to promote it on travel.co.za. Yeah.
And then there's certain areas where in nature reserves where they still kept the eye, so you can go and see them, and they're actually worthwhile going to look at.
They almost look like those things,
the gremlins, you know, the movie.
The gremlin. Or like that creature that lives with Jabba the Hutt.
Oh, he's kept
that thing. Yeah, his pet. That's what it looks like.
And I think the gremlins took them as an example.
Correct? Yeah, probably. Yeah.
All right, well, that sounds excellent. So we've got Madagascar, Mozambique. We've got all kinds of things that we didn't have on our agenda before, and that's the point of this show this morning, is to kind of open up people's ideas and minds to travel destinations they might not have thought of. Madagascar, right here.
Yes.
3 hours, cheaper, lots of things that you wouldn't get to do anywhere else. And if you want to see the lemurs, you can see the lemurs.
Yeah.
Don't
go to a zoo in the world. Come to Madagascar and find them in the natural habitats.
All right, here we go. Let's just see what Bitcoin Butt says. The language isn't the barrier. It's the fact that you need to go deep away from the little tourist destinations that they have. And obviously there they will speak French or Malagasy.
Yes.
So English is not going to help you in...
No, not in a remote area. Like Nosy Bay and Antana in international hotels and lodges, you would definitely... Yeah. get away with English, going off the, like I said, off the beaten
track. That's why it's great to do the tour. Because you've got a guide that's going to help you.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
That's why it's the guide is everywhere and you're taken good care of.
All right. Very good. Well, thank you very much. And it's nice to meet you and to have you on the show for the first time.
Martin. Likewise. Thank you. Very good. And I'll see you in Madagascar.
Absolutely. Okay. Sounds very, very good.
Breakfast show from Madagascar.
Yeah, why not?
Thank you.
Thanks, Martin.
Why not? Thanks, Achi.
We would have to wake up a bit later there because we'd be early.
That's only 1 hour.
It's only 1 hour. Okay.
We can do that.
I love that. All right. Very, very good. We're also going to meet. So there's a Tarsier. Yeah. That's thanks, a Tarsier. Yeah. Look at those eyes. Yeah. You think they're big enough? Show them the eye eye.
Yeah, the eye eye.
That's the one we want to look at. James, do you even listen to me? It's unbelievable.
It's coming. It's coming.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's see if we can find that picture.
Wonderful. Good.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a great show.
Bye bye.
Very cool. Okay. That's the Tarsier. You've shown that already. I'm talking about the eye eye. It's a different thing. Pay attention. A-Y-E-A-Y-E. Jesus. Hard work getting good help on the show these days. I've been to Malta, Taiwan, China, Mexico, the Bahamas, Caribbean, Jamaica, Argentina, Chile, to name a few. The language doesn't stop me, says Bitcoin. But yeah, I think probably that would be a consideration for some people, language.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that you don't want to go somewhere. I mean, I can't.
Exactly. It depends on the type of traveler that you are. So if you are the adventurous type, like Bitcoin, but don't let that stop you. It's part of the adventure. No. But there are people, it's genuine concern, you know, about communication is really important. In instances like that, it's really cool to go with a tour group.
Yeah.
And like Martin and Sense of Oceans do offer that kind of experience where in a guided group, it's just you and your family and you've got a tour guide that's taking you to all these places. They speak the language. They know the culture. And they will keep you comfortable through the entire journey.
I want to bring Michael Njogu in, who is the Chief Operating Officer for Sense of Africa East. There's an II. See?
There we go.
It's a little bit like a gremlin. It's not as ugly.
Not as ugly. It's not
I
so
think
ugly.
That's quite cute, actually.
That's quite cute.
But you notice it's got
look at the finger, man.
It's got that one long middle finger, which is not because it wants to give you, rude hand gestures. It uses that to scratch into the bark and to... These holes where worms and grubs and things live, and that's what it eats.
It's a tool.
Yes.
There you go.
It's developed this evolutionarily. It's not there to give you the middle finger. Do you know what
I mean? It actually is quite cute.
It's not as ugly as people say it is. It's very cute, but apparently endangered, as we found out from Marte. Come and have a seat, Michael. Yeah. Nice to see you, man.
How's it, Michael?
You. Hey.
Good.
How are you doing, guys?
So you're here to represent East Africa for us today.
Yes, yeah. East Africa is actually a few countries.
Sure. So we were talking very generally earlier. We were talking about Kenya. Tanzania. Yeah. We were talking about Kenya. You've also got, who else have you got in your portfolio?
There's
Uganda.
There's Kenya, Tanzania, Uganda, and Rwanda.
And Rwanda.
Obviously, Zanzibar is part
of
Tanzania.
Okay, yeah. So we mentioned Zanzibar already. Yeah. We can talk about that if you want to, but I'm sure you've got other places on your agenda.
East Africa is obviously seen as one destination for many, but depending on your interest, then we sort of direct you.
All right, well, let's start with the one that I don't think many people would start with, and that's Uganda. I mean, what's happening there at the moment, and what sort of tourism is there in Uganda generally?
So Uganda has been known mostly for gorilla trekking or primate trekking, if you will. But over the years, the local authorities there have tried to sort of bring in a little bit more building circuits for safari, the Big Five safari.
They've got a lot of sort of game reserves there.
Yes.
Conservation.
So
efforts.
Over and above the gorilla trekking, you can also do safari. You can also do some adventure stuff.
I would imagine. Sorry to interrupt you, Michael, but I'd imagine that stuff is mostly on the western side where the border with Rwanda is.
So that's the gorilla trekking,
right.
The Virunga Mountains. That's on the border side with Rwanda. So they actually do share the forest there. Yeah. So you can do the gorilla trekking either on the Uganda side or the Rwanda side.
And what other stuff do you have in Uganda? Because we're missing out, obviously, on the whole eastern side, which is the coast, and there must be some beautiful places along there.
Uganda is landlocked.
Sorry, I'm talking about Tanzania.
Yeah, So yeah, so Uganda basically, you know, adventure stuff, you know, hiking, obviously they have the Rwenzori Mountains. You can do bungee jumping, you can do, you know, water sports, you know. We actually do have a property, Wild Waters in Jinja. Yeah, so there's quite a bit of stuff that you can do, you know, away from the safari, because a lot of people see East Africa as a whole as a safari and beach destination. Sure. But now it's changing, you know, it's changing because, you know, there's more that you can do outside the typical safari or even gorilla trekking.
And I suppose just before we get off of the animals, because that's a big part of Kenya too.
Yeah.
You know, you've got places, Mombasa, I imagine, is also high on people's lists of places that they want to go to. But, you know, when it comes to Ngorongoro Crater and places like that, those are also high on people's lists.
Oh, yeah. So,
and that's just a natural, that's not necessarily for the animals, but you go there because it's just such an incredible natural wonder to see. Yeah,
exactly. So I think to unpack East Africa, you have to look at it in three, four dimensions. So the first is the safari, and the safari is typically, you know, wildlife, nature, you know, and so on. And then there is a coast. The East Africa coast is very well known. So it comprises of, you know, Mombasa, north coast, south coast. There is also Zanzibar. You know, there are sections along Dar es Salaam, but you know, Dar es Salaam is a city, so people will not necessarily go there for the beach. They will go there for, you know, the history, you know, the heritage tours there.
And of course, Achi mentioned Kilimanjaro as well.
Yeah. So there is also the, you know, for the adventurers, there is also the, you know, the hiking. So you can do the Kilimanjaro. You can do it. You can hike a few days, or you can go all the way to the top for about a week. So that's the other dimension. Yeah. Mm. Then away from the safari and beach, then obviously there is the Ngorongoro, for example. Mm. This is really it's an awesome, it's an amazing wonder because it's a massive hole, if you will. It's a 19 kilometer. It's a 19 kilometer, 600 meters.
It's a crater of an extinct volcano.
It's 610 meters deep.
Wow. What are those? Is that deep?
Yeah. And 19.
And the animals are in there and they can't get out.
In fact, they also risk inbreeding, especially the lions, because they never really get out. So there's that, you know, you did mention earlier about the wildebeest migration. You know, they kind of like to change the diet. It's not that they don't have enough to eat, so they move around a little bit.
what about that place where they've got active tectonic activity? They've got like these huge hot mud pools and things.
Yeah.
There are all kinds of interesting things that happen there.
So
old volcanoes that come up every now and then.
Yeah, exactly. So there is Nyiragongo in Congo. Mm-hmm. So there's that whole belt that comes up every once in a while. There's hot springs in Bogoria. This is in Kenya now. Yeah. So there's a lot of volcanic activity in that region. Actually, in Kenya, just recently, we had a massive crack in the Rift Valley. And there's been a rife speculation that the continent might actually split into two because of that.
We would be on the east side if it does split all the way down, right?
Yes.
Oh. Okay, well, this is fascinating. Yeah. I mean, there's so much to see in that part of the world.
Yeah.
I know some people who just recently went to Zanzibar, and they said it's magnificent.
Yeah.
Another friend of mine was in Kenya. She said it's beautiful. I mentioned to Martin Wiest earlier.
Yeah.
Kenya's got some amazing 5-star resorts.
Yeah.
And beautiful beach destinations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Zanzibar is obviously very popular with South Africans. It's nice and warm. For those who've been there before, you know, people will also combine that with Serengeti, for example.
Mm.
You know, it's very accessible, you know, you can fly around quite easily. Kenya, of course, it's very close, you know. It's only 4 hours from here. It's very well served by multiple flights. There's Kenya Airways, sure. There's Air Link and
somebody others. Told me Kenya Airways is great. They were on there the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they had very nice things to say about it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great service. I flew down here on Kenya Airways. Yeah. It's nice and quick. So, sure. You know, and obviously the connection. The connectivity out of Nairobi also makes it very easy for people who are traveling outbound.
And just because people always go to these beautiful or safari or beach or whatever destinations,
yeah.
What's Nairobi like?
Nairobi is a big city, just like any other in the world. You know, it's great. I know people used to talk a lot, especially South Africans, used to talk about traffic in Nairobi. That has appears to have been resolved now.
Oh, really?
You know, we have a lot of infrastructural development. The gastronomy of the city has just changed over the last years, and it's a great city to, you know, to hang out during the day and during the night, you know. Some very good hotels have come up in the last, you know, in the recent past. So it's basically a cosmopolitan city, you know. There are so many people there from all walks of life, from different countries. So, you know, everybody would feel at home.
I love it.
Yeah.
Okay, so East Africa is now on the agenda too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well done. Thank you, Michael. Pleasure to meet you.
Yeah,
last question, Michael. Yeah. Somebody, one of the comments.
Yeah.
Okay.
You've got first-hand experience, you know, dealing with the gorilla trekking and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There's a meme going around. Who would win? 100 men versus a gorilla.
Wow.
For me, it's a gorilla. Any day of the week.
Yeah, I think so.
It's going to take the strongest man and his hardest punch.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, be like that.
Yeah. I think the gorilla will win.
Yeah, well, I think I leave that out there.
Especially
but those guys are massive, man.
Yeah,
and they're used
big silverback.
And they're used to very rough terrains, you know.
Yeah,
good question. All right, thank you so much.
Thanks, thank Michael.
You, guys. Yeah, have thank a nice day.
Right, cheers.
That sounds like something we've got to put on the menu. It's East Africa, so pay attention to that. Let us know in the comments where else you would like to find out about and what you'd like to know that we may or may not have covered yet. I also want to get Paul Brinkman in here, who's the Chief Operating Officer for Sense of Africa, Namibia and Botswana. Of course, this is right here on our... What's that?
No,
come and have a seat.
Yeah.
Come and have a seat, Paul. Nice to see you.
How's it, Paul?
Thank you.
Good. Thank you for joining us. So everybody always goes, oh, well, travel, tourism, we have to go far. We have to go, you know, extreme distances, 16-hour flights and all the rest of it. Actually, we've got a gold mine in Botswana and Namibia. These are two magnificent places. Botswana especially is so damn close if you're in Johannesburg that you'd be stupid not to go. The flight is shorter than it is to Durban.
I like it. The flight is shorter than to Durban. It's a chip and a putt. You get in your car.
And really, I mean, Botswana is just a treasure trove of places, specifically if you're interested in going to the national reserves, the animals, if you want to see that. Up in the north, there are things to see which you don't get anywhere else. There's the Okavango. There's the, you know, places like Maun, which are extraordinary.
One horse town.
Yeah, but I mean, what a place to be. And then you've got reserves in the south that are just hundreds of kilometers of salt pans, right? So, I mean, Botswana should be on everybody's agenda.
And you know what? There's actually a lot of South Africans who do go across. You know, it gets a bit complex when you're doing Southern Africa and you're selling Botswana to a South African. Maybe it's a little bit the same in that way because it's like you have so much at home that you could go to.
Yeah,
but the thing is, Botswana is totally different, and let's just jump across the desert part of it, and we go to the delta. And when I say the delta, really just that wetland area from Maun, you know, on the west to where we have the Chobe to Kasani on the other side, and then you go, and this is actually for anyone. Never exclude the internationals. For the South Africans, you just don't have that kind of wildlife. Bush, wet, safari.
Well, I've been there. You've gone a game drive. It's in a car. In Botswana, you're on a boat.
Yeah. That's amazing. And
it is something else.
Listen, I've only seen these beautiful documentaries that they make, because I haven't been to the Okavango yet. But it seems like one of the most magical places on earth, because you just don't, there's nowhere else that there's a delta that big inland.
Yeah.
You're not on the sea, and yet you've got kilometers and kilometers and kilometers of wetland that is just thriving and teeming and with green. Wildlife. Yeah, green.
You know what's really great about Botswana, and when you pick us when you're there, is when you're sitting, and it's whether you're at a lodge or at those adventure camps or camping, mm-hmm. and you're just sitting on your chair and you have this fire, and directly over across you have a buffalo. It's not going to say there's a lion, because all of us get a bit nervous, but you know, you should be getting nervous with a buffalo in any event. But it's, how do the guys, it's raw. Yeah. It's, you know, you guys have game reserves here, and you can get pampered, or you can go camping and it's great outside. But when you're sitting there, it's a little bit like pulling yourself back in time when people used to travel by foot and horseback.
Yeah.
And there's nothing really between you
and if you and speak what's happening a, if you speak a little Setswana, then you can speak all the languages that you need to get around in Botswana.
You know what? You really get away with English. You guys are going to laugh at this, because you're going to cross the border, and you know how everyone speaks Afrikaans.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, they don't.
No way. No, they don't. So if a dog chases you, I can't say "Futsak."
Maybe the dog will get
up. All right. What about Namibia? Because I don't want us to run out of time here, but Namibia is also just
this unbelievable green place. Namibia.
This green Namibia.
Yeah.
I mean, people are gonna arrive and they've seen the pictures. Yeah, and
desert, Namib, Skeleton Coast.
So at the moment, it's a little bit like going to Scotland.
No.
Because you know,
what is this, because of all the rain?
Because of the rain.
I saw some of the videos, people were going out to their homes, going to check this river that started going again.
As Namibians, we've all been driving, and cars have been taking a bit of a hammering, because it's spectacular. So one, we're not used to green. Actually, we're not used to rivers or water actually flowing. So the minute we see a river, everyone gets in their car to say, guys, this is a unique event. Let's go out there. But I was traveling recently. So the northwest is a lot of mountain areas, which is why I say it's a bit like Scotland, because normally it's these red colors. And at the moment, it's green. I mean, literally, you're looking at hills, mountains, and there's grass everywhere. And if you look at it from a distance, it's green. If you get closer, there's green shrubs. And
How long you reckon that's going to last? Because that's like a disappearing thing.
There we go. Yeah,
people limited might opportunity
just be there to see that.
Yes, it is unique. It'll happen every once every 7-8 years. So you know, we've had a lot of Europeans traveling at the moment, and the guys are going, it's bad, and we're being blocked by rivers, and we're going, guys, we understand it, and it's complex and it's difficult, but this is a once in a lifetime. This is not something you're going to go home and compare to others.
Now, I'm going to bring up something that I'm interested in that other people might not be, but I mean, my family have been shooting in Namibia before, which is lots of fun. And there are obviously, you can arrange for those kinds of things specifically if you're not just the sort of person who likes to look. But there are obviously these vast spaces there. So you've got people who've got farms that are kilometers and kilometers big. The actual natural reserves, though, are also substantial.
Yeah.
In both Botswana, which we've discussed, and in Namibia, where these animals are protected and where you have unique vegetation in different parts of it. So what kind of stuff do you like to do when you're there?
Not hunting. But not because I don't have any moral disagreement with it. But I'm one of those lazy people. I like
hard
to go
work.
To the beach.
It's really hard work. So are there beaches in Namibia is an interesting question, because you've got a terrible coast of cold water.
we have really great beaches like Cape Town. You know, only the really so
they
brave
look nice, they but you don't get in.
They're spectacular. They're harsh. You can drive your car. Unlike the others, we literally can drive on.
I mean, we were just talking about the east coast of Africa, where the water's lovely and warm. Not on the west.
No. It's a little bit like the guys in East Europe and that. The only people who go to our beaches is us. can't okay. sell this to anyone. It's an exercise in endurance to get in. It's like, get in, get out, get in, get out. Okay, now I'm cold. Now I can
There's
get
a cold
in.
Plunge with craze.
Sure. So, people are going to the gym and they're paying huge memberships to go and hop in a tank of cold water. You can go and do this anytime you like in Namibia.
Well, you know what's really great? Between Wolfish Bay and Swakopmund, we have Long Beach.
Okay.
And come Christmas, everyone arrives there with their own car. Oh. And they put up their bras and they put up their volleyball nets. And you've got like 8-9 kilometers of people just chilling on the beach doing their own thing.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
Tell me, what's the best way in and out of Namibia and Botswana? Do we just go to Gaborone? Do we go to Windhoek?
And so I'm often surprised because then guys will say, and then I'll rent a car. Because I honestly go, it's a chip and a putt, guys. It's a you do one quick stretch. You have your own car.
Right.
That is cost saving. And then you don't spend your money on more activities. And
so
the
do you
other
drive through
stuff.
The Northern Cape up into Namibia?
Oh, well,
how long
to,
does it take
I used to study in Stellenbosch, so I drove up and down all the time.
And how long does it take you?
How fast do you drive?
Average.
Guys, it's 15
on the road.
It's 50. The roads are very good.
Okay.
Our tar roads are very, very good. Look, we've had rain, and so we have potholes, but that's literally now in town, in Windhoek. And the rest of the roads, our road, the tar road network is really good. And even our gravel roads are, look, if you push it, you could do it in your Polo. I just wouldn't recommend it. Road infrastructure is really good.
So we don't need to fly in.
You don't need to fly in at all.
So Africans love a road trip.
For Botswana, that's also true, right? More so.
So Botswana, your question is, are you tough enough to go 4x4ing yourself in those areas? And I would go for your average South African, yes.
Okay.
Easily.
Yep. All right. Just make sure you've got good enough knowledge of your car and the road.
Look, the old problem used to be you could get lost because the road work in Botswana, it literally does this. You think you're following a route and there goes. Every time you come to the cross in the roads and you go, I don't know which way to go.
Oh, sure.
The truth is all of them end up in the same place.
Yeah.
But if you're nervous, you don't know that.
But also now, I mean, there's no excuse for people getting lost.
No, 100%.
That would have been a thing once.
100%.
These days, you've got internet coverage over most of the country.
Yeah.
There may be very, very isolated places in the Gemsbok National
Park. You don't even
need
a proper GPS. You can go with Maps.me.
Right. There we go. You can even download the goddamn maps beforehand, you know? No excuse. All right. Well, thank you very much, Paul.
Thank you.
Pleasure to have you here. So we've now really looked at...
I want to see the green Namibia.
Yeah. That sounds amazing.
I want to see it. Looks cool.
Welcome. Yeah. But I would actually come to the drive.
What's the nearest town to all of that in the northwest?
No, it's Swakopmund and Windhoek. It's always your base to start from. And then when you go, those rural areas, it's a lot of small towns. So you can pick up everything you need or want. But in general, I'd also go, you know, for the Namibian tourism industry gives SADC rates. They look after South Africans. The way we will charge guests and the way we will charge SADC is totally different because Southern Africa we treat as ambassadors. Okay. Everyone else we treat as paying tourists.
All right. That sounds good to me.
Thanks,
guys. Thank you very much, Paul. Paul Brinkman is the Chief Operating Officer for Sense of Africa, Namibia, and Botswana. No problem. And we've got one more guest that I want to bring in. It is Dieter Holler, who is the Chief Information Officer for Tourist Destination Management. Come and have a seat.
How's it, Dieter?
Hey, nice good morning. Morning, Gareth.
Dieter, morning, Achie. Good morning.
Good, I'm very well, thank you. Bit of an early start this morning, but all good.
We saved the best for last. So let's talk about, we're all here for the Indaba, which is the big reason that we decided to do a two-hour special from here this morning, and Achie's been terrific. And we've got to speak to Martin and everybody else. But I wanted to find out from you the business of this and the stuff that's happening. We were talking about AI earlier and how that's impacting stuff. What's the state of technology and the latest innovation in the world of travel?
Right. So AI is obviously the buzzword, no doubt. And of course, that would come up. And if you ask a IT person about AI these days, you're kind of like, oh, okay. What that
means? Anyway,
that
because,
means
because
that means,
everybody
that
goes.
That means so many things.
Everybody's such an expert on it,
it's been around you know, in some form or shape for actually quite a long time, you know, be it machine learning and you know, only now in the last 2-3 years has it become really public knowledge, because they became language models and, you know, we were able to interact with these things in the way, you know, that we speak, you know, normal sure. English language or whatever it may be. So in terms of tourism, 2 or 3 years ago when these large language models made, you know, their big debut, we treat it with caution, and we still treat it with caution, because you know, if you spend some time with your AI agent, with your AI buddy, you know, you notice, especially on subject matters that you have intense knowledge on, you do notice that it can spin you some very, very
it makes stuff up
and it sounds perfect.
What do they call it? Hallucination.
Hallucination, yeah. Exactly. And you can set temperatures and all sorts of things if you know how. And you know, that is the challenge. So we started, you know, with a very cautious approach, and we included it in products that we have that we call like Itinerary Builder, which are digital mm-hmm. representations of travel itineraries. And we used it there in a very cautious way, with a disclaimer, I must say, to say this is AI generated, just to give the person, you know, an overview of what the itinerary is about. But yes, it would hallucinate. It would bring in, you know, all sorts of suggestions to, you know, enjoy the nightlife, you know, maybe in a city that's not so safe or something. And you're like, no, that's not what we want to be telling, you know, our guests. So it's a lot of fine tuning. And obviously these models have also gotten better. So it is more at a stage now where it is usable for that okay. sense. And you can nearly take the disclaimer away, you know, to say, okay, this is now pretty good. There's still lots to do. There's a long way to go to, let's say, replace our humans that are consulting, and it's not that are consulting travel, all the exciting things that my colleagues yeah. told you about, and actually replacing is not going to be the thing. It's more it helps them, it supplements them in their tasks that they have to perform, speeds them up, and allows them to offer better service. So that's what we're aiming for. We have some more ambitious projects in the pipeline at the moment using AI as well. So where we want to use it to interpret certain contracts, because we believe it has the power to do that, which is a very human task, yeah. very time-consuming task, and various others that we have in the pipeline just as proof of concept type of projects. And if we find success with it, then we roll out. So that's our AI journey at the moment.
What are you excited about personally? Like, what kind of tasks can it take off of your list that you'd rather not be doing?
Well, it's an
that's where a lot of people want to
absolutely
start.
The advantages and it's an advanced form of automation. That sure. that's really what it is. So the dream would be, of course, that if we receive requests via email is still a very important, you know, part of communicating in this industry, that there is a way to transpose that email into some form of structured data that we can then process that information automatically into reservations platforms downstream, yeah. all the way to the supplier, the transfer, right. the hotel, and so on. So that is the dream. And again, not to take away from the human being that is doing it at the moment, but there's no doubt the human being that is doing it at the moment, their knowledge is still required. They just, with like with everything, will be expected to do more work in a shorter piece of time. It's an extra tool on your desk, just like in the last 100 years, at some point a calculator ended up on yeah. someone's desk.
Yeah.
Maybe before that was an abacus, became a calculator, then became a spreadsheet.
It's amazing that we have to
it's an evolution.
We have to keep telling people these are all just tools. They're not necessarily going to change and consume every other part of your yeah. life. AI is a big deal, but I think it's also being overplayed by so many people.
Absolutely. You got to, and it's difficult to filter through that hype. Mm. You know, what is real, what is not. And it's difficult to know sometimes. It's such a rapidly changing space, of course. But yeah, we'll see what comes with caution. It's risky just to, you know, roll out AI generated content to your customers.
I mean,
you know, you still want to be vetting.
Just told
that.
Me now. Go into the Joburg CBD. I mean, the Durban CBD tonight. It'll be lots of fun.
Well, that's the kind
no?
of thing, you know.
Should yeah, I yeah, not
yeah,
do
yeah,
it?
Yeah, yeah. It would be great if that was true.
Would you recommend? 5 out of 10 would recommend.
No, the spots. Yeah.
All right. So let me ask you the same thing I asked Martin earlier, because we're gonna wrap this up in the next couple of minutes. But where in the world do you still want to go? And Achi, you're going to have to think about yours as well, because your list of possible destinations has got smaller and smaller because you've gone everywhere.
Yeah.
But we just heard about Green Namibia. I mean, there's something that you wouldn't get to see too often in your life, and that sounds pretty exciting.
Yeah.
Take a quick trip up there, see it once in a lifetime, head back and say to people, no, Namibia is not a desert. Please, I've got pictures to prove it. Where would you go?
Look, I absolutely love traveling in South Africa, and I've got a deep, deep passion for travel and for Africa.
Okay, well,
I'm the IT guy in this business, but I'm at heart, I'm very much a travel person, and I love to keep it local. And you know, all those destinations that we went through this morning, you know, I haven't been to all of them, so Madagascar is a big thing on my list. I'd love to explore. My personal favorite that's outside the scope of where we are operational is probably something like the Amazon in South America, something, you know, where we're not pretty active, exotic. But it's just something I would love to experience at some point.
Aren't you worried about all those insects? There are insects.
I'd go there before Australia.
Yeah, that's probably a good
point. Because Australia, you find even more dangerous shit in your garage.
Yeah.
They saw an anaconda in the river the other day. I posted it on my Instagram.
It's difficult to tell.
How would you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
This thing was enormous and terrifying. Sure. Now, I do agree with you, like the rainforest would be fun, but apparently you get bitten by and eaten by so many different kinds of insects.
Maybe you're watching too much Survivor or something. I don't know. I don't know if it's really like that, but
you want to do the Amazon.
I'll find out one day.
All right. That would be fantastic. Okay, so Achi?
Morocco or South Korea. That's my
Morocco. Yeah. Huh?
They're doing some really cool stuff in Morocco now. I mean, they got some high-speed rail network that they're busy building as well. So.
Is Marrakesh still a thing?
Yeah,
definitely. People want to go.
And know of somebody that's just been. And apparently the surfing is amazing. It's a big thing now. Surfers are traveling the world to catch some waves. But yeah, Morocco and
Casablanca.
All of it.
The Atlas Mountains.
I've seen some resorts there, and just that you see these beautiful resorts, and you get that landscape of that sand and all of that. There's obviously the Star Wars spot, which I'm sure you'll understand as well. And you see these beautiful pools with that backdrop of that sand and all of that. It's just amazing.
And you said the other one was South Australia?
South Korea.
South Korea.
Right. I'm going to say Australia.
Australia. I've been
South Korea, yeah. And I want to go to North Korea. It's best Korea. So you can.
I don't know if you'll come back.
I've looked into it. I mean, like, there's some advantages that people complain about a South African passport. But the one or two things that are useful from our passport's point of view, if you want to go to Iran, you can do that.
You're good to go. Yeah.
And remember, I want to go to Iran because all those ancient Persian historical monuments that I want to see in Persepolis and places like that. No problem if you're South African.
Yeah.
Same with North Korea. They'll go to Russia, no problem.
We don't know where you are in the world, but come.
You know, so these are not bad ideas.
To go to Russia now would be, absolutely. I think it would be mind-blowing.
I think it would be.
Not another tourist in sight. You got the place for yourself.
As long as they don't conscript you at the same time, you'll be fine. All right, listen, we've given you so many ideas this morning on the show, and I want to thank everybody who's been part of this. Thank you, Dieter.
Thank you.
Everybody who joined us this morning online in the comments section, lots of questions, lots of very stupid comments, but that's not unexpected.
No.
And big thank you to Achi, who arranged the whole thing. You know, you really are a treasure trove of information, too. I mean,
pleasure to be here.
Listen, we've got Botswana, Namibia, we've got Mozambique, Madagascar, we've got far-flung destinations above and beyond that. And I think East Africa is also sounding more and more like an exciting destination for many of us. Doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg. You've learned a little bit about aspects of how to travel more smartly, where you'd like to go that you might not have thought of before, and so much more. It's really a bonanza this morning. And we'll be back in the studio on Friday morning, but it's really cool to do something different. And if you're looking for more information, or you're looking for a suggestion of a destination, just head to travel.co.za. It's really the simplest thing to remember. Just put it in your head, put it on your saved bookmarks, put it in your diary. Just consider it a reminder for the end of the year when you maybe
decide at the last minute you want to go somewhere, travel.co.za. All the destinations, all the opportunities, all waiting for you. All right, we'll see you on Friday. Ciao, everybody. Bye.